Welcome to an inspirational Sunday message from Found Church. We hope you will be challenged and encouraged while listening to this message. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our church website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
2 minutes, man, of my time. So, welcome this morning. For those of you that don't know me, I'm Alan McLean. I'm married to the beautiful Gillian McLean. She's punching. She can't be here with us this morning. She's in Northern Ireland with our two young boys, two lads, two McLean boys, Lewis, who's a grenade, and Ethan. So if you've never met me, that's who I am. Today, I want to speak just for a few moments on following instructions can give you direction. And I'm going to make it really easy and simple. In fact, my sermon could last 2 minutes, because what I want to share with you today is that the Bible is the best instructional and directional tool that we have as Christians. In Psalm 119, verse 105, it says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Let's close in prayer. Just kidding. That is the basis of what I want to share with you today. Because that is the instructional tool that we have to walk in our daily life. When me and Gillian just bought our first house, our parents were going to come over and visit. Well, they did come over and visit. And we sorted out the spare room for them, and we made it look lovely and smell nice, and we got the potpourri in the corner. But one, there was a problem in the room. There was no curtain. So I said, right, well, it's all right. I'm a guy. I'll put a curtain pole up. It's not a problem. So Gillian was like, well, why don't we just wait for my dad to come? Now, what I heard was, you can't do it. That's what I heard. So off to B&Q I went and got a curtain pole. So I got my measuring tape out, and I measured 4 inches that way and 4 inches that way, then 4 inches up, drilled the holes. It was plasterboard because it's a new build. So I drilled the holes. Everything looked lovely. Put the brackets on, stuck the curtain pole on. Perfect. Job was completed. But then I made a mistake. I looked down at the bag where the brackets came from, and there was another bracket for the centre bit. I was like, oh, well, let's make it extra secure. The curtains weren't that heavy, but let's just make it extra secure. So I measured up 6 inches and drilled a hole. And then suddenly realized, hold on, no, the outer ones were 4 inches. Right, okay, that's not a problem. So I undrilled that up, and I don't know why to this day, but I decided to move the pole up rather than bring it down. So instead of bringing it down and filling the hole in and making it look okay, I thought I would cover the holes up with the curtain pole so no one can see the holes. So that's what I did. I drilled 6 inches on that side, 6 inches on that side. And then, and this is no lie, you can ask Gillian, I drilled 4 inches in the middle. As if I wanted to make it symmetrical. So anyway, as I started to put the bracket on the right side of the curtain pole, the two holes became one hole. And it was a big hole. This is a new build. I've been in a week. And I was just looking in shock, and I heard Gillian come up the stairs. It was like Jurassic Park, where that dinosaur's chasing you in the Jeep. And she came in, and she was a little bit shocked. And after she stopped crying, I said, what we'll do is, why don't we just wait for your father-in-law to come, and he can help me. And you know, he came, and without judgment and criticism, he filled in the holes, and he painted it, and he made it look brand new, and we got the curtain pole up. And to this day, as far as I'm aware, we're not in that house, that curtain pole is still standing. And what I want to share from that is, you know, I could have easily watched, normally I watch a YouTube video on how it's done and follow the basic guidelines. But I went off on my own way thinking that I could do it. And what I started doing is, when I saw the error of my ways, I actually started to make it worse rather than leaving it all and seeking help to get it better. And I think I see many people in our lives today that try to do things the wrong way, that try to sacrifice who they are to try and please others. And what they do is they strip holes in their life. And there's no one in this world that can fill those holes. And we try to do it with careers and chasing money and drugs and relationships and social media. But the Bible, the answer to my sermon today, the instructional tool that we've got, indicates that there's only one person that can fill that emptiness, that void and those holes in our lives, and that is Jesus. And you know, a bit of my story, I've been going to church since I was 2 years old. But when I was 30, I stopped praying. And I stopped reading my Bible. And I started to stop fearing God. And I started to live off the experiences that I had in my life. I started to live off the blessings that had gone before me. And thought, oh, that still counts today. And because I did that, I was distracted with what the world had to offer. And I horrendously backslid and went away off track. And I ended up in an inappropriate relationship in Scotland. And I remember God waking me one day and he said, Alan, this is not the path that I want for your life. This is not what I've called you to be. You still have a plan and a purpose, and I want you to come back. And I had to make a decision in that moment, in that time, to leave everything and go off on my own. And that's exactly what I did 14 years ago this November, and I came to LPC. You see, Russell Brand, I can't believe that I'm quoting him, but Russell Brand described chasing fame as the be-all and end-all. And when he got it, he described it as going into a bakery, seeing all these delicious cakes, taking one of them and tasting it, and it tasting like ash. And that is what the world has to offer. It looks glamorous, it looks good, but when you experience it, it tastes like ash. And that's what it felt like for my life as I came back to God. So today I want to share a few thoughts on how we as believers can stay on track or get back on track. In the New Testament alone, there's over 1,000 different clear instructions for us to follow. The Bible is described, as I mentioned before in Psalm 119, as a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. In Hebrews 4:12, it says, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." The book of James is a cracking book to look at for instructional and directional tools. It is a superb book. It's only 5 chapters, chapter a day, Monday to Friday this week. It just gives you plenty of meat to go after, as does all the books. In Joshua 1:8, it says, "Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful." It's a great promise. And throughout my life, the Bible has been directional. It's shown me love. It's given me encouragement. It's given me joy, peace, and hope. However, if we're not careful, distraction can come in. Sometimes we can isolate ourselves because life is busy. And not being in church sometimes can hinder us, and sometimes distraction can come into our lives. When I was 17 years old, I was going out with a girl called Anne. And she was in South Wales University because my best friend, who was seeing a girl in that same university, I went down there and showed my charm. So one particular weekend, we would go down once a month, and this particular weekend that was going down on a Friday night, and the girls were making us a slap-up meal. They were getting all dressed up. It was going to be like a 3-course. And as a 17-year-old, that was great, superb, free food. So my friend picked me up from work, and we headed down. And normally, we would take the left cut off to go on to the M5 to go down to South Wales. It's just next to the RAC building. Once I saw an AA van outside the RAC building at a broken down car. It was funny. I should have took a picture. So we're off the way, but for some reason the vibe in the car was excellent. Everyone was, we were both just laughing. We were listening to the classics of the age at that time, which was your Amy Grants of the world and your Michael W. Smiths, for those of you who don't know those names. Don't worry. So it was just, the chat was just great, and we lost track of time, and we wasn't looking at the A to Z, which we had at the time. There was no sat nav, there was no mobile phones, we were just looking at the map. We lost track of where we were. And I said, where are we? And my friend was like, I actually don't know where we are. Now, I'm sure we've come off the M5. Does anywhere look, you know, normal to you in our normal travels? And I was like, well, the motorway lights look exactly the same, to be fair. So I think we're going down the right path. So we decided to stop off at the next service station. And fear started to grip our lives when we saw a London sign, which was only 35 miles away. And we thought, I think we've gone off track here. And we pulled off and we turned up at Watford Gap Services. And we're going to Wales. We weren't laughing anymore. We realized our mistake. In fact, we started arguing and we was blaming each other. No, it's your fault. No, it was your singing that, you know, made us miss our stop. And then we started to worry about the consequences. This is going to be extra cost. And this is more time out of our way before we get to our destination that we should have been aiming for. Our girlfriends are not going to be happy because they're sat there, no mobile phones. They're sat there waiting for us. And the dinner's going to be cold. So we started to concern ourselves with that. And you see, it's so easy to go off track. And that's why we've got to kind of sharpen ourselves with reading the word every day. You see, the enemy knows that there's a call on your life. They know there's a gift on your life. And you might be sat here this morning thinking, not in my life. I'm okay. I just go to and from church. I'm a happy guy. I'm a happy woman. I know what I'm doing. I remember when I was 2 and 3 years old, the nice words that were spoken into my life at that age by people at that church who had passed away before I even reached 5. I still remember those words and I still remember those faces. Never doubt the call of God that's on the life. Never doubt what is spoken out of your mouth and what you do in action to anybody in the church, because you don't know how they will remember you in later life. So the enemy knows that. And 1 Peter 5 verse 8 says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy the devil prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. He will do anything to stop you reaching the purpose that is on your life. I've been there, and we can get confused with good feelings and what is right. So I want to share 4 tips with you that will help you stay on track. The first, be in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18 says this: rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ. 2, actively read your Bible. We can all go through the motions, but sometimes we've got to do it with our heart. Take 5 minutes out in a 24-hour day and just get onto a Bible plan. Just start reading it. And it's amazing. This is a great advice. It's amazing. The minute you sit down to read your Bible, the phone will ring. The door will go. A TV show that you've not seen in 16 years comes on that you must see there and then. It is amazing what will try to get in your way from stopping you reading your Bible. Seek godly friends. Who around you is building you up? Who around you is challenging you? Who around you are lifting you up to the standards that God set for your life? And then look at your friends and who's pulling you back? Who's taking you away from the standards that God has set for your life? Seek godly friends. And finally, obey the truth and have regular fellowship in the church. And, you know, coming to church does not make you a Christian. But when you are in the presence of other Christians and when you are in the presence of God, that will start to rub off into your life. So these are some really helpful, crucial tips to help you stay on track. I've got a friend down in Manchester, and I just jump before I mention that. John Bevere yesterday put a post up, and he says, sin happens when our desires become more important than submitting to the will of God. And I've got a friend down in Manchester, who has got a gift of God on his life. He's a great speaker. Him and his wife was being used tremendously. But over Christmas, he sat down and he said to his wife that, and he admitted to his wife that he'd been having an affair for 12 months. And this obviously devastated the house. And he left the home. And I've been on the phone to him for a while, speaking to him through this. And one of the things that he mentioned when he left the home was how at peace he felt, that a burden seemed to be lifted because he'd left the marriage. And I said to him, I said, let me be very clear. You're listening to the wrong voices. Because the peace that God gives transcends all understanding. But the peace that you're feeling is the enemy's left you alone. He understands the call that's on your life. He was seeing what you was doing and how you was ministering. And he's tucking you out. And now you feel at peace because actually he's left you alone. We're in a fight, and there is a fight on for your life. And I said to him, I said, don't listen to the feelings that you're feeling now. Listen to the truth. Get back. What does the Bible say to what you're actually doing? How does it, is your life contradicting what the Bible is saying? Neil Anderson from Freedom in Christ says this: you don't feel your way into good behavior, but you behave your way into good feelings. There is a fight on for your life. 1 Timothy 6:12 says this: fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Ephesians 6:12, 13 says this: for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so when that day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And it goes on. Today, you might have got lost somewhere down the line, or you might be living two different lives. You may realize that you've tripped up, but you don't know how to come back. The enemy does not want you to get back on track, but God does. So what the enemy will try to do is try to contradict the truth, try to contradict how God has spoken over your life. Jesus says, you're loved. The devil says, no one loves you. Jesus says, you are forgiven and made whole. The devil says, how can you be forgiven? Jesus says, you are chosen. And the devil says, no, you're not. Jesus says, you have a purpose and a call for your life. And the devil says, he has no need for you. What voices are we listening to? And let me be very clear. Sometimes in life, you know, as a person, it's sometimes very easy to listen to the negative thoughts about yourself because they're easier to believe than the positive thoughts spoken over to you by what the Bible says. No matter how far you have gone off track, no matter your age or your ability, God is not finished with you yet. Psalm 103, 10 to 12 says, he does not treat us as our sins or deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. And the Bible is very clear. Again, the answer is the Bible. It's a clear indication. The Bible shows us that he's bothered about the one. He's bothered about you. There's three stories that I just quickly want to mention. And there's hundreds of stories. But three clear stories that he's interested in the one. The shepherd and the lost sheep. The lost sheep wanders off and he gets stuck in the bushes, and the shepherd goes out and rescues it. The prodigal son sees the glamour and the glitz of the world and he goes, I'll have a little bit of that. I'll have some of those women. I'll have some of those parties. Let's go. And he realizes what he's done when he sat in the pig hut and he's eating their food, and he realizes that he's got no friends and everyone's deserted him. And actually, to be a servant in his father's house would be a better life than what he's living now. And while he was away off, his father came out. And before he could give out his speech, his father was hugging him and welcoming him back in because he was just glad that he was here. And one of the best stories, it's in my top five stories in the Bible at this present moment in time. I have a running top five, but this one is cracking. It's the woman at the well. She turns up at midday to fill a bucket full of water. Now, that's really strange at this day and age, because normally in people at that time, women at that time, would go early in the morning or late at night to get out of the heat. She goes during the day at midday, where the heat is its worst, to avoid probably those judgmental and critical looks from other people. Or maybe she was so ashamed or full of guilt that she went to avoid everybody else. But God and Jesus knew exactly where she was, and he went out of his way to meet her at that exact time at that well. She didn't know that that morning she would meet Jesus, and that on that day she would actually probably fulfill the potential and call of God on her life that particular day when she woke up. She was probably one of the first evangelists, because she went back in the town to get everybody out to bring back to the well, and that town was transformed as Jesus stayed there another 2 days. He was only passing through. God is bothered about the individual, and he's bothered about you. So today is a finish, and as the band come up, Stephen mentioned it earlier, God is after your all. He's after everything. He just wants your Sundays, and he just doesn't want your ministry time. He's after everything about you. He's after the fun bits, and he's after the ugly bits, and he's after the secretive bits. He wants all of you. I was reading a piece this week from William Higgins, which struck me. Can you hear me now? It says this: sometimes we only give God what we don't want to sacrifice. And sometimes we let God into our lives, and we let him into the hallway of our hearts and say, right, you're in, but you can't go in the living room. You're not touching that room. I don't want you near that. Psalm 95, 6 and 7 says, come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are his people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Today, if you would only hear his voice. Sometimes we put things in the way of us giving our all to God. We read in the Bible, the rich young ruler was told to go and sell everything that you had and then come and follow me. And he was like, no, I don't want to do that. The money is actually more important to me than following you. Let me go and bury my dad first, and then I'll follow you. Let me go and buy these trainers, and then I'll tithe. It doesn't say that in the Bible. Let me finish this box set first, and then I'll read my Bible. Jesus is a jealous God. We read in Exodus how jealous he is. He wants our all. We need to reignite our faith and get back to that place that we probably once was. I'll close with this best instruction that we've been given. And it's mentioned in the Bible a few times. And it's really probably the key message that I want to share with you today. Matthew 22 verses 37. It says this, Jesus' instruction. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Today, my encouragement for you is to stay on track and keep on track. We need, with our hearts, to have that moments with God daily. We need to be in prayer, but we need to be reading the Bible. Because as I said in Psalm 119, verses 105, it's the light to our path. And I get lost so many times and think, oh, why didn't I do this? Or why shouldn't I have done that? And sometimes it's too late when we get lost. Sometimes we need to come back. And we can erase our past. It's there. But today we can set out on a new future, because God is with us. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening. We hope you've been challenged and inspired. Please feel free to contact us through our website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.